Setting goals comes easy for most folks, but accomplishing them is another thing altogether. Our guest today on the KTSU Magazine is Brian Radsden. He is a graduate of Humboldt State University and a local resident, and he's accomplished his goal of publishing a book each year for 7 consecutive years. And he's here to tell us about his latest publication, Search for Truth, A Rude Awakening. Welcome to the KTSU Magazine, Brian.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, congratulations on your 7th annual publication of a new novel. Tell us about your book.
Yes, it's the 4th book in my Search for Truth series, and it takes place in the South and deals with a lot of racial issues and social engineering, and they elect a new president. He moves the capital to Alabama, and really, just like a lot of my books, it was a vehicle to talk about racial issues and to have certain conversations with people that I think need to be had. And so I'm really excited about it, and people seem to like it when they see it.
You have a Search for Truth series, and you also have a Madman for Good series, I believe.
Yes.
And it sounds like you're trying to, get people to think about the way the world functions in a different way, and maybe a more peaceful way.
Well, and that's exactly it. I think if any of my work can mean anything, it's just to get back to what makes us human. One of my favorite metaphors was everything we need to know we learned in kindergarten. Basically just getting back to basics, looking at each other, as human, not messing in the sandbox, remembering to share, treating others like you like to be treated. And I think a lot of these things can bring, make these conversations that are supposedly hard easier to have once we start looking at each other as human. And it's one of the biggest things I certainly try to accomplish with the books, because as I've always felt, and anybody who knows me, I've probably told them a few times, but I believe that we could probably agree on 90% of stuff when everything falls away. There's just a 10% little bit of fog, these things that we say we can't get over, so we can't get over to this big 90%. Well, what I'm trying to do with writing and T-shirts and hats, as you can see, a radio camp,
Yes, you have a red hat with white lettering that says, Make Racist Afraid Again.
Yes. If any of it is a purpose for me, it's to try to flip that conversation. So we can try to start from this 90% we can agree on. And then once we're kind of communicating on a human level again, we might have a fighting chance at these generational battles.
So the setting of your book, so it takes place in Alabama, and they,
yes.
And does the state of Alabama elect their own president or?
No, basically, because it's the 4th book in the series. So to give a quick little background, basically it's this kind of quasi government, conspiracy organization that has basically infiltrated the whole government and taken over. And she takes it upon herself, to move the capital to Alabama, because of, old generational beliefs and probably old Civil War racism, things like this. But one of the biggest conversations that I have or have characters have in that book is basically between one of my characters whose name is Billy Bob. And the reason I chose that is I wanted the most stereotypical kind of Southern name I could think of. And basically, here's this guy who did a lot of bad things, committed a lot of horrible, horrendous acts, and has basically seen the light. And now he's kind of fighting on the right side of history and really knows like the right way to go. And he's having a conversation with his nephew that hasn't made that transition yet. And I felt like that was a very important conversation to have. So it's things like that. And I hope that, people can find something they can relate to in it, because that's really the whole point. Obviously, I want to sell some books and I want to become wildly, popular and all this. But really, it's to have conversations and spread some consciousness where I can.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Well, I will share with you that I'm from Georgia. And so I don't know any Billy Bobs, and
sure.
Racists are everywhere.
Yeah.
We have to remember that too, that there's not just a concentration in a certain part of the country. I mean, if that were the case, we might have a different situation right now, you know?
Exactly. And that's part of it, is trying to appeal to that, you know, that poor class that, yes, they have a lot of those really kind of terrible beliefs and, you know, opinions or whatnot, but they're in the same kind of going through the same economic hardship as the people that they espouse hate for. And so these are the two groups that I try to bring together, because they try, you know, if they saw that they're really being kind of pushed away by the same people.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the great paradox too, with the, you know, with our political system here, is that, we're so polarized,
yeah,
and, you know, manipulated to distrust each other, that we're not able to utilize our power, you know, to ask for what's good for the planet and the people, and you know, what's for justice and fairness. You know, we're just too convinced that there's too much to be afraid of, and there's, you know,
exactly,
we have more to lose by.
Yes.
I don't know. So if you can get that conversation going.
Yeah. I mean,
more power to you.
If anything, you know, get people to talk. That's the whole idea, you know, so.
And so you're having people can come and talk about the book.
Oh, sure.
On Friday, April 13th at the Library Fishbowl Room.
Yes.
That's the second floor of the HSU Library.
Yes. I'll read a few sections out of the novel and a few pieces out of the collection, from the Mind a Critic books that I've also put out. And so I'll read a few sections, and then we'll have some discussion questions, and it basically goes as long as people want to talk. And it just provides a forum, and, you know, to have some of those conversations, because that's why I do this.
Yeah. Well, are all of your books available at HSU? Are they part,
yes,
of, like, the author's circle, which is...
Yes, they're part of the Authors Hall collection, all the My Search for Truth books, the two from the Mind a Critic books that I put out, and I did do three of those. Manifesto of Madman for Good were my first three books that I did to just kind of get my feet wet with book writing and whatnot. But,
well, one of your books is like a action plan or actions for Madman for Good.
Yeah.
So what are some actions that you could, like, share with our listeners about how to be a madman for good?
Well, one of it's critical thinking, and it always has. I think critical thinking skills aren't taught as much in schools, especially earlier on, and then that causes all kinds of issues when you add in all that generational kind of belief structures that get forced on people. But it's basically... we just need to think about what's in front of us. We need to think about what's, you know, nothing in life is black and white, and I understand that, but it's basically we need to try to let the fog kind of, you know, go away, for lack of a better phrase, and just see what's really there. And that's part of it, getting out of our own way. You know, a lot of self-sabotage, because a lot of self-hate ends up manifesting itself as projection of hate onto others.
Yeah.
And so we need to, you know, look in the mirror a little bit more. You know, the whole, you know, the old Gandhi line of being the change you want to see.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think that's, you know, the best thing we can do is just still surround ourselves by good people. No matter how, you know, bad and dark things can look and can get, there's always good people, and there's always light, and there's always beauty. I mean, I spent half my day by the river before I came in here, and it was beautiful.
All right.
And I, you know, so it's just little
healing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and, you know, last week was the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., and
yes.
I heard a speech, and I think it was a phrase I don't remember hearing before, but I think it's just so right on. Like, you know, so much of what he says about that, you know, we need a revolution of values, and
sure,
and you know, that's definitely going to take opening up to what's in front of you. Yeah,
exactly, because, you know, as he would say, or anybody of that ilk would say, You know, if you're in the end, if you're against rights for people, like period, end of sentence, you're going to lose. History will show that. And so it's a battle.
Yes, yes. Are you a madman for good? Do you consider yourself a madman for good?
I believe so. It's interesting when I publish through Lulu.com, who I go through and where my books can be purchased. I had to come up with a publisher name, and I chose Unrelenting Positivity because it kind of went along with that. And so, yeah, I consider myself to try to, you know, just be good to people. I make sure I wave at random people when I go down the street because why not?
Right.
Because if we're afraid to, like, just wave at people, what chance do we have at having conversations?
For sure.
I'm an eternal optimist, so sometimes I can, you know, people can see that, and I try to look at more of a rosy picture, but it's... If life is all about perceptions, we need to at least get our mind pointed in the right direction.
Right, for sure. Well, and so this is your seventh consecutive book that you've published.
Yes.
So you're publishing a book every year. So talk about that. Like, how do you, what's your writing process? Are you one of these people that gets up and starts writing at like 8 a.m. and you write all day, every, you know, kind of a 9 to 5? Or how do you accomplish this task?
Well, it's interesting. Now, my process definitely took a little while to define with working a 40-hour-a-week job and just trying to find spots where I could work. But yeah, I basically found in the mornings... I'm best working at the mornings, and then kind of got to clear my head and, you know, just take in get out the negative ions or whatnot afterwards. But basically, producing the actual like rough draft is a different process than the editing. So basically, in the morning times are my most productive times, but also going along with that, realizing that that's my most productive time, and then the rest of the time I might not be as productive, but then I start to think, well, what can I do to take care of myself and be good to myself, because that makes those productive times more productive, and that goes into eating right and being kind and everything. And I realized, you know, probably within the last few months at least, that what makes me a better writer is what makes me a better human being.
All right.
It's the same concepts of being kind and going out and seeing the world as it really is and you know, eating good food and, you know, just trying to be as real as you can. So
yeah. Well, we get one go round, so
yes,
you might as well make it count.
That's right.
So Brian Radzin, am I saying your name right?
Radzin. It's okay.
Okay. Brian Radzin. You're going to be reading your book and having a discussion and signing books at the Humboldt State University Library Fishbowl Room that's the second floor.
Yes.
Friday the 13th.
Woo.
It's like 6 p.m. or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, right, yes.
All right, well, and if people are interested in learning more about your books, should they go?
My website, brianradzin.com. They can also check out my Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Brian Radzin, Facebook, Search for Truth Series.
And Radzin is
R-A-D-Z-I-N.
Okay.
And Brian with a Y.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Brian Radzin, thank you. Okay, I don't know why I can't say that.
Quite okay.
Thank you for coming on.
It's
good
my
luck
pleasure.
with your eighth publication.
Thank you. I'm actually editing on the new book, the fifth one in the series, and hopefully I have it out this fall. So
okay.
Pretty excited.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.